You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. It is roster cutdown day in the NFL. 3 o'clock today, the Titans, along with everybody else, have to be down to 53. So we'll see who gets cut today for the Titans. If there are any surprises coming, Malik Willis traded yesterday from the Titans to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for a 7th-round pick. So right now the Titans have two quarterbacks on the roster. I would assume a move coming at some point for quarterback number 3, and I would assume that quarterback then goes to the practice squad, but we'll wait and see. Any other things you're looking for today with the Titans? We brought up Caleb Farley earlier. Going to be interesting to see where he lands, what that looks like. The Chance Campbell injury-torn ACL, so he is obviously out for the season. Not good news for him. Any other roster news that you're really looking for today that could be coming by surprise? I'll tell you one for me that I'm interested to see that I don't think is going to make the team, especially because he's been injured the last week or so. But what do they do with Kyaris Jackson? Like, does Kyaris Jackson end up having a spot? I think Jaquan Jackson is going to have a spot on the 53. But what about Kyaris Jackson? If it's not him, who's going to be back there doing the kick returns for the Titans when the season comes around?
Well, wouldn't it be Jaquan Jackson?
I mean, he could do both. Yeah.
I know that some people talk about Ty J. Spears, but I've never thought Kyaris Jackson was making the team. I know he had the one fantastic return in the first preseason game, but I don't think that you have a spot just for that, especially when you have Jaquan Jackson, who is functional as a receiver, was drafted by this regime and can return well. So I think that's the answer. Yeah, obviously there's some questions at the bottom of the roster at O-line, D-line, safety. I mean, Matthew Jackson, is he going to be on the team? But, I mean, to me, it's all – first of all, some of these things that initially happen will change, like we talked about. Like that first 53, take a quick picture because, like, it'll change in 5 minutes and then it'll change again 5 minutes later. So – none of that stuff is all that. I mean, I think the Caleb Farley thing is interesting and corner for sure. We know that linebacker is kind of – that picture has kind of cleared up because of the injuries and stuff. So, yeah, the running back. What's the running back situation? It's interesting. I think they're keeping 4 tight ends. I think that would be a surprise if it's anything but that. At running back, I think it's – I mean, I'm going to guess Hassan Haskins as the 3rd running back because of the special teams aspect. I think Julius Chestnut, purely at the running back position, is a better player than him. But there's been a lot of talk about him, and you definitely notice him out there in the kicking game. So I'll guess he's RB3, and that's where they leave it. But honestly, and I must say it's – been refreshing to not do a 53 this year.
I'm really disappointed in you.
I know you are.
I'm a subscriber to theathletic.com, and I expect at least 4 53-man projections.
I promise that I'll write something about their most surprising cut, okay?
Thank you.
Can I do that? Do that for you? Can I offer that for you? I mean, I just wrote you 3,200 words about Bill Callahan. In the 90s, okay?
You did.
Cheese, curds, and whatnot.
You don't get that everywhere.
That's right. But, there's not a lot of interesting stuff with this
really
53.
Not.
It's kind of – I think it's clearer this year overall than in some places. And then do they go out and Do they go find someone? Do they? Is there somebody out there they can pick up? Linebacker, D-line, edge to upgrade. Is there somebody they've got their eyes on that they can get at number 7 in the waiver wire?
Well, and this is always kind of the interesting part of that too, because short of a trade, like everybody always looks at this day and is like, all right, well, who's out there that the Titans could go get? Just like we've been sitting here the last few days of, man, would somebody pick up Malik Willis? What does that look like? And it's always like you always kind of got to remember, you're picking up somebody if you do it that did not make the team that they were on. It's like this guy was not either not good enough or just the situation didn't work out to make the 53-man roster with the team they're on. So how realistic is it that you're grabbing somebody today on the waiver wire that's going to come in and make a big impact for you? Not very. Like it does. It we've seen it happen. It's not like it can't happen, but it doesn't happen very often.
Well, where I think it can get interesting is some teams just do happen to have a surplus of pretty good players at one position or another.
Right.
So, for example, I've made the comparison. I'm very interested today to see the Detroit Lions, because apparently, like, they are in rough shape at receiver. Like, they don't have a third receiver. Now, I'm not saying any of the guys the Titans are cutting are going to immediately elevate and be the Lions' third receiver, but Cleef Raymond's their third receiver. All due respect to Cleef Raymond. Love the guy. A fantastic guy when he was here, and it's great to see his career continue and do well, but, like, he shouldn't be your third receiver.
He should not be your third receiver.
So, I mean, they cut Donovan Peoples-Jones, who I actually thought was pretty talented. So for example, the Titans do have some pretty good receivers that are going to be on the street today. So there's where, like, a team that's really destitute and a team that is kind of flush with at least pretty good guys, does that turn into a pickup? I told you, my guy Colton Pouncey, who covers the Lions, was like, there's no way they're cutting NWI, right? I'm like, oh, no, my friend.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, 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 my friend. Now if the Lions want to offer up a nice juicy pick, we can talk.
Death, taxes, NWI on the Titans roster. Three certainties in life, baby.
That is exactly right. But who's out there? Like, I know that Bryce Oliver's been made some plays, and that's good. But, like, Bryce Oliver, I think, is going to be on the Titans practice squad, and that's fine. I don't know, man. I like, you know, a guy like Mason Kinsey. I actually think, like, and even, like, I mean, a guy like Kyle Phillips, too. Like, guys like that could be of interest to somebody. I could see that, potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe even Akiris Jackson. Like, you have to really value him as a returner, but he just hasn't done a ton at receiver in two camps with the Titans.
Ethan from Lawrenceburg, any news on Cedric Gray? The news that we know doesn't sound great. A nerve injury that he's dealing with in the shoulder, and there's no timetable for his return. So that's not good. Obviously, things have not gone to plan with him at camp to this point. But when you start talking about nerve and then not a timetable for return, that sounds pretty serious with Cedric Gray.
Yeah, don't like that, hearing that at all. So you also don't want to overreact, because – nerve things happen, and we'll think about like Mariota. I mean, the year that he was talking about, it feels like strumming a guitar and it's numb all year, and then eventually he got that back like the next year. Didn't help him play well, but I'm saying you can get over these things. That can mean such a wide range of things. But yeah, the no timetable thing.
Marcus catching strays from Rex Road.
Oh, I'm supposedly the Marcus lover here. Just trying to be.
You're not
going to
find a bigger.
We just tell
fan
it
of,
like it is.
You're not going to find a bigger fan of Marcus Mariota and DJ Uiagalelei than Joe Rexroth.
That's right.
That combination of players, you won't find a bigger one.
Hey, man, you know Marcus is also pretty good. I saw Jaden Daniels say he would not be where he is without Marcus.
Well,
so he's a mentor now.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a texter asking if Hopkins is starting on PUP. I don't think so. And we've not heard that for sure. And
yeah,
indications last week were that they expect him to be out there before the season. So I don't know specifically whether or not that means he's absolutely going to be ready for game one. But no, I would not anticipate Hopkins starting the year on PUP.
Yeah, no, I think right now I think it's trending toward him playing. But, you know, a week from today, we probably still won't know. When's the first injury report come out? First injury report will come out a week from tomorrow,
right? Before the game.
Week from tomorrow, first injury report. Until then, it'll probably be a little bit. But we'll have some indication, obviously, if he's out there at all. like this week, then yep. we'd know. But I don't think he will be. But, yeah, right now, if I'm having to guess, I'm guessing he plays in Chicago.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans. Malik Willis traded from the Titans to the Green Bay Packers. We've got Mike Sando from The Athletic coming up at 8:30. The quarterback tiers list that he talks to different folks around the league every year is out again. We'll get to some of the highlights from that and where Will Levis ranks in that as well coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We'll have Mike Sando from The Athletic coming up here in 8:30. We'll get into the quarterback tiers with him. And by tears, I mean T-I-E-R-S. The quarterbacks are not crying that I know of.
I bet you there's a lot of tears about his quarterback tears.
I bet there are.
Yeah.
We'll get into that coming up at 8:30 with Mike Sando. Got some tickets to give away to see Squeeze at Ryman Auditorium this Saturday, August 31st. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to Squeeze at Ryman Auditorium coming up this Saturday, August the 31st. So the quarterback tier list is out. Sando does this every year, and he talks to different folks around the league. Like, this is not Sando just sitting here and saying, you know what? I think Aaron Rodgers is tier 2, and Mahomes is tier 1, and Will Levis is tier 7. We're going to make up our own tier for him. It's not Sando doing that. He's talking to people throughout the league and kind of compiling this together. So he does this every year. It generates a lot of conversation every year. You'll be interested to know, tier 1 this year, a little less crowded in tier 1. You'll be interested to know Patrick Mahomes is a tier 1 quarterback. I'm sure that's a good shot.
Can you believe it?
Joe Burrow, also a tier 1 quarterback, and Josh Allen. That's it. Those are the only three guys in tier 1 around the league. You're surprised by that. You're surprised that tier 1, not a little bit more crowded than just those three guys, Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen.
Yes. I would have, personally, Lamar Jackson. But, again, this is based on people around the league. So it's 50 NFL coaches and executives. So, yeah, I'm a little bit, but I guess Lamar Jackson. It's interesting because Lamar Jackson won a playoff game last year.
He did.
But it was another, I guess, disappointment because you're the one seed and you lose to Mahomes. And it was a rough offensive day for them. But I would think – I'm trying to think who was in – do we have that? Does he have that? Who was in last year?
I believe last year –
because Rodgers was in there.
Yeah. And I believe also
– Was Herbert?
Herbert was,
yeah. And – oh, yeah, here we go. Yep, dropped one tier, Rodgers and Herbert. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's fair to question Rodgers now just in terms of his – lasting power after the injury. And Herbert, I think that's fair. I mean, I think it's still – I still think he's a tremendous talent, but I think that's fair.
Don't they have to, like, do something on the field at some point for him to continue to be in these things? Like, I know it's not
Herbert, yeah,
just him, but you're talking about a guy that's never won a playoff game and is, as a team, pretty much consistently underachieved every year.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure. It's fair.
They got the Harpster in there now, though.
The Harpster and the Herbster. Let's see if they can work together. But I could make a case that Patrick Mahomes is his own tier, too. I could make a case that it's Patrick Mahomes, and then let's go to the second tier, and the top of the second tier is Burrow. Now, the Josh Allen's interesting, too. I mean, there's some people who would disagree with tier one.
I mean, there are some people that wouldn't have Burrow in it just because of the injury stuff. Now, yeah. I think when he's on the field, we've seen what he is, which is pretty darn good. On the Titans front, so the scoring system in the tiers are basically like this. So, like, for instance, I think Patrick Mahomes was probably unanimously tier one. So he gets his vote. His voting average was 1. So he was unanimously in tier one. So you go off.
It's just
the
a 1. Yeah, Burrow gets a 1.1.
1.1. Exactly. So the range in this thing is tier one is 1 to 1.5. Tier 2 is 1.5 to 2.5. 3 is 2.5 to 3.5. Tier 4 is 3.5 to 4.5. And 5 is 4.5 plus. So that's kind of how he separates the tiers.
So, again, so people are voting. Yeah, if you vote someone a 3 and someone else votes them a 2, that their average is 2.5.
Exactly. So the average taken there. In Tier 4, which is a pretty crowded group, by the way, you have
Daniel Jones with the Giants at 23. Justin Fields at 24. Minshew at 25. Anthony Richardson at 26. Tied with Will Levis, also at 26. So Will Levis in tier four. I don't think that should be a huge surprise or outrage. I mean, he's played nine games in the league and with very mixed results to this point. So
yeah.
Tier four for Will Levis.
So another thing here, which I like a lot, because a lot of these QB rankings out there do include rookies. And so someone's like, Caleb Williams, number 12. And it's like, all right, you know, let's let somebody play football before they're part of this. So that's one thing I like about this. Rookies are not involved. And so I think it's fair. I think it's about where I would have expected it. I do look at like a Minshew and it's like, ugh. Minshew being right ahead of – now, Minshew, Richardson, and Levis all got 3.8s, by the way, as did Bryce Young, but I guess a little bit you know, Minshew a little bit ahead of them. But Richardson and Levis exactly tied at 26. Bryce Young also a 3.8 at 28. Then you go Darnold Brissett. So, no, it's about where you would expect it. And obviously, the big thing with these is some of the comments, you know. And so it's like there's some positive, and for the most part, you'll see somebody who really likes someone who really doesn't. This is an interesting one an OC said about Levis. Quote, this is an OC quote on Levis. Quote, he makes some impressive throws. I always wonder if he sees it and can react fast enough. Is his processing ability going to always be a little slow? That's all just some awareness. I don't know if he knows when he's hot and there are blitzers, that sort of thing, end quote. That's interesting. I don't think that's – again, I'm not saying he's always boom, 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 and he's Tom Brady or he's Patrick Mahomes, but I don't feel like that's the issue. Like as far as like awareness or knowing what's going on, I think it's just executing has been more the question with him, but it's interesting. And another D coordinator said the obvious, which is it's so hard to judge him last year because their line was so bad. But also, I think, quote, I think next year is maybe a three, tier three, and that's it. I don't see the upside.
Hmm.
So there's no one gushing about him, for sure. There is someone saying that there was good tape on him last year. The getting wound up a little tight, that's another thing with Levis, right?
Yeah.
How does he handle stress? So mostly criticisms of him, but I guess when you get down to tier four, that's what you have.
He did get 10 tier three votes. So of the 50 people, 10 of them put him in tier three.
10 in tier three and 40 put him in tier four. So
nobody in tier five.
There you go.
No tier five quarterbacks on this list. Geno Smith or somebody was in like their own tier. Like he was the only one in tier five like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Meanwhile, like the commentary on Richardson, and again, I think it's just perfect that they're tied because like the Colts and Titans this year, so much is going to be learned and determined at that position with those two franchises and where things are going. But the comments on Richardson are things like a head coach saying, quote, everybody is scared to death of him in the NFL. An offensive coach, quote, he's the closest thing to Cam Newton since Cam. All this stuff. Another head coach says, quote, you're hard-pressed to tell me if he keeps developing and stays healthy, he's not going to be bottom of tier two next year. So there's a lot more upside amazing with Richardson compared with still kind of just some skepticism about Levis's ceiling. I think Levis's ceiling is pretty high, but obviously, even though these guys are tied, there's definitely a difference in the commentary.
I got a texture that says a two-time NFL MVP – definitely a tier one player. Talking about Lamar Jackson, I think he just barely missed it, right? Like the cutoff's 1.5, and he was 1.6.
Yeah.
So Lamar was fourth on the list behind Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen. But I understand that argument. He has won MVP of the league twice. So,
yeah, I mean, and I get that, but you know, at the same time, you know, it's what they think you are now. The last time we saw Lamar Jackson, I mean, he made one outrageous throw, and then that offense really did nothing. But that's the thing. The Chiefs' defense last year doesn't get enough credit for what it was. Just like when Brady won it his last time, it was with the Bucs' defense. It wasn't him. But
I mean, there was a comment that an executive says, or a voter in this says, quote, I just think putting an MVP of the league in tier two is being on some quarterback high horse of what we think it's supposed to look like, was what that voter said.
Fair. I like that.
So
here's another. By the way, here's a quote on Richardson from a coach. Just as a coach, quote: "I don't see a path for them, the Colts, to have a successful offense with this quarterback without putting him at continued risk for injury." End quote. And that's interesting. At least there's some counterbalancing there of the, oh my God, everybody's terrified of him. It's such an interesting question. Can you be what you want to be with him not being used extensively in the QB run game, which is, I mean, look, Lamar Jackson, obviously, they changed their offense for him. So how much that just what they're going to do with him this year is going to be so interesting.
And then Jordan Love going from tier, I think, 4 last year to tier 2. He's at 14.
Boy. Get excited. Right behind Captain Kirk.
This guy is an offensive play caller. It says, quote, he's a 2 going to a 1.
Oh, boy.
F. He had a perfect GD passer rating in the playoff game. He can make all the throws. He's composed. Very impressed.
Did you just say swear words, but just those are – wait.
I'm just reading it.
Oh, okay. I thought you said F.
I did say F. That's what he says in here. I'm reading the quote.
Okay, I need to read the quote. I was about to say, so he said the actual F word, but we're not allowed to do that anymore.
It's blurred out.
Oh, it's like F dot dot dot?
It's F with a line, okay. A hyphen.
All right. Good job.
Getting things a little cleaner over there at the Athletic.
I know. It's so disappointing. I loved it so much when I could write the F word out all the time.
A little bit of class to the joint now that you guys are all with the New York Times.
I know. It's probably for the better.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Mike Sando, who has put this list together, will join us coming up next. We'll get into the quarterbacks with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We've been discussing the quarterback tiers that Mike Sando has put out there. Love this list every year. We bring Mike Sando into the program now on our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike Sando of The Athletic. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So this list is something that we talk with you about every year, and it's always really fascinating to see how this ends up going down here. But I want to start with Will Levis, because obviously there's a 9-game sample size we've got from him, and the idea and kind of the thought process on him really varies on who you speak to. So what did you kind of learn and piece together about Will Levis as you were putting this list together this season?
Well, people know he can throw the ball. He's got a good arm. And then they wonder a little bit about his demeanor a little bit. Does he play a little uptight? Is he a little uptight? That was part of it for him. But it's only 9 games, so he came in with a little bit of less of a pedigree than some of the other guys who were, first-round picks, top 5. So there's probably a little bit of a reason for that. And now we'll just see how he takes to new coaching. I don't think people were, racing to the window to bet on him. But it wasn't like there was, super negative commentary either on him. There's not a lot of people who are thinking the ceiling's super sky high and he's going to be amazing. But that's for him to prove.
I think maybe the most surprising thing to me, Mike, was just seeing Matt Stafford jump the way he did. And obviously, I know, he came at the Rams, had a surprise year last year. He's been a very good quarterback for a long time, but it was just interesting in reading some of the commentary. I'm wondering what you thought of that, and what was most surprising for you this year as you went through the process?
Well, Stafford has always been kind of around the top 10. He's always been a tier 2 guy. He has gotten some more tier 1 votes, I think partly because he got with a better organization. And when when they know you're talented, like that he was in Detroit, but you never have any good team results, after a while, that gets assigned to you to some degree, right? And so he was able to come and get to a team that had a little bit better defense, had a run game, a really good offensive coach. And you know what? It proved the talent was legit. He won the Super Bowl. And people super respect his ability to pass the ball when you have to pass. And that's the hardest time to do it. Everybody is pretty good when you can play action it and that people are worried about the run game. But when you have to pass, Stafford's somebody who, he might throw it to the other team sometimes, but he's gonna put some fear in you, and he's gonna drive his team down in a 2-minute situation. So That's where I see him. What was the rest of your question?
Yeah, just what was the most surprising thing you heard or evaluation through this thing for you?
So, big picture, it was surprising to me to have only three quarterbacks in Tier 1. There was probably a few bouts where only Mahomes was the only Tier 1 vote on that ballot. You know, I talked to 50 people that are in the league. So that's pretty unusual. I think we've had for a long time there was Rodgers was a gimme that you'd put in there. Herbert had made it before. Some guys who've retired, you know, whether it's Brady or Breeze or Roethlisberger, were always sort of good for some of those Tier 1 votes. So I thought that was interesting. I thought Lamar Jackson may make it into Tier 1. He's like a couple of votes short just because of that, like I said, that component when you have to pass, hasn't necessarily been a good situation for him and wasn't in the playoffs. I think if he would have beat Kansas City or played better in that game, he would have rocketed in because he's so good and dynamic and talented. The other thing that's interesting to me is look at the top of Tier 3. So Tier 3 is a legitimate starter, but, you know, not a star, right? Needs probably a better run game defense to win. You don't want to be throwing it all over the yard with this guy. The top four guys there are Tua Tagovailoa, paid $53 million a year. Trevor Lawrence, paid $55 million a year. Kyler Murray, paid a top-of-the-market contract. And Deshaun Watson, who I think still has another $130 million coming no matter what. That's what would be concerning to me if you're in that mode where the league is perceiving your quarterback as somebody you can win with, but you're paying him win because of money.
Well, then, you know, right above that, Mike, the bottom of Tier 2, you've got Jordan Love, who took a massive jump from last year to this year, obviously, with the second half of the season he had. It's interesting to read some of the evaluation on him because people think, like, he may have Tier 1 upside. Going to be interesting to see how he does in Year 2 as a starter. But what did you make of what you heard around the conversation with Jordan Love?
Right. That's a pretty big jump to go into Tier 2. He did start the whole season, so it's not like he just had a partial season. We've seen sometimes, like for example, when Brock Purdy only had 5 or 6 starts, you know, a lot of people said not enough info and put him in the 4. Green Bay may benefit from their tradition of replacing great quarterbacks, you know, and Jordan Love played so well in some of those games down the stretch, especially that playoff game against Dallas, that I think, you know, it's possible you could have this feeling of, oh, here they go again. They found the next quarterback. I think it's a little more than that. I think people did see some really encouraging signs from him and his ability to just kind of handle it. Because remember, when Rodgers was winding down there, the problem was, hey, they're too young at receiver. They don't have any established guys. Well, they were younger. They're one of the youngest receiving corps that we've ever seen. And he got him going pretty good. So I think there's good reason for optimism there. It's probably a little early to push him into Tier 2, but I think people are confident that's where he's headed.
Mike, going back down to Tier 4 and of local interest here, obviously Will Levis, and he's exactly tied with 10 Tier 3 votes and 40 Tier 4 votes with Anthony Richardson. And, of course, those two stories are going to be intertwined, and it's going to be fascinating to see how those two quarterbacks develop and what happens with the franchises. But the commentary is very different. And I know that there was a defensive coach in here who kind of talks about, or I'm sorry, maybe it was an offensive coach, but somebody talking about with Richardson, you know, I think you have to have an offense that puts him in danger for them to be successful. But there's also a lot of this guy scares the heck out of everyone. Was it pretty strongly in the favor more of like, yes, this guy could be great than the hesitation with him when you talk to people?
I think the hesitation stuff is still there, but I didn't go and relive that necessarily too much. I mean, we talked about that a little bit in putting together the section on him. The concerns are conveyed about the injuries. That's the number one concern, but I think he also hasn't shown that he's a consistently accurate passer, and he's early on in getting trained up for that. So people saw glimpses in his handful of games where, wow, this guy's a super dynamic athlete. I think that's where that comes from, but it's still a lot of those comments are, can he do this and stay healthy? Because he was really taking big hits, and sometimes guys have a feel for avoiding that or they don't, you know? And I thought he if you watch him getting hurt, he's running into the end zone, standing straight up and like not aware that he's going to get hit by the bus, you know? And some of these other guys just have an innate feel for that. So that's a big question for Richardson, but there's no doubt there's boom potential too, that there isn't with some of the other guys as well. It's kind of like, you know, the Steelers debate between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. At this stage of Russell Wilson's career, he's not a dazzling athlete. He's running all over the place, but he might manage an offense okay. And Justin Fields has the much higher ceiling, but also he's got a lower floor. It can look really bad with him as well. So I think Richardson hasn't shown enough of the bad for people to be, you know, concerned, but he hasn't been able to stay on the field. So, you know, that's where that comes from. But I think it's reflected that Anthony Richardson was a top five pick and Will Levis wasn't. And there's a different level of ceiling and they're just different players.
Mike, what did you make of where C.J. Stroud landed in this, coming in at number eight and in tier two? Or is there any worry that it's maybe too high too soon for him?
Yeah, a little bit. I think a little bit. He's the last guy who really got a lot of tier one votes. He got 12 tier one votes after one season. So if I were to follow down the road that you're talking about and sort of make a little bit of a case that it's a little bit too soon, you could say this. We misread what Houston was about. Houston had a better team than we realized, right? By the end of the year, Houston, good offensive line, Houston, good wide receivers. No one was saying those things when they drafted him. And people were saying, first-time head coach, first-time offensive coordinator, good luck. Houston, Cal McNair, right? There was a lot of that. And then Stroud comes in, plays really well, and they win a bunch of games. But now we feel, hey, you know what? Bobby Sloak, that first-year coordinator, was really good. D'Amico Ryans was good, but roster was better. So did Stroud possibly get a higher share of the credit just because of what our perception was of Houston, right? Is Houston a better situation than we thought? And so Stroud should get maybe credit, but maybe not 12 tier one votes. There's a valid case to be made along those lines. At the same time, we all saw Stroud look really good, and he was impressive, and he gets credit for that. And I would want to bet on him rather than you'd want to have Stroud, right?
Oh yeah,
I mean, I'll bet on Stroud being in tier two.
Yeah, no question. Well, it's kind of like, you know, you were talking earlier about Stafford, Mike, there's no question he was a tremendous talent for a lot of years of the Bad organization, but the guy who is discarded by that organization goes to the Lions. They all of a sudden build up around him, and he's 10 in this thing. I mean, right? Like, so it's, you can almost look at Goff and say, yeah, he's good, but look how important situation is here always for these guys, right?
It is. Yeah. No doubt about it. I think when you look at tiers two and three, you know, the situation is more important for those guys than it is at the top. And it's still important for those guys at the top. I mean, look, Patrick Mahomes has Andy Reid. That certainly helps him. But, yes, the situation is a key variable, and it makes football evaluation sometimes difficult. And as we get more of these, you know, coaches that are adapting their scheme for the quarterback, you're going to have the potential for some more of the quarterbacks to look good.
Well, Mike, we really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Really love this and you putting this together every year. And thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mike Sandow from The Athletic, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. It is, what, 6:30 his time out there?
Yeah.
6:43
I think
now.
He's been up doing this since like 5 a.m. Wow. Local, Pacific, yeah.
Guy's on a roll.
He is tier one.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Your thoughts on the Titans? Roster cutdown day is today. We'll take your Titans questions on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Roster cutdown day today for the Titans. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Malik Willis traded yesterday from the Titans to the Packers in exchange for a seventh-round pick. Mason Rudolph, clearly I think the whole time, has been QB2. How good is he? How good a QB2 situation do the Titans have, do you think, heading into this season when you look at Mason Rudolph, the way he's played in camp?
Well, I think it's very good. In fact, I would like Mike Sando. Mike, can you add to your plate quarterback 2 tiers? Can we have backup? I would read something ranking the backup quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, while you're if you know, you got these 50 folks, I say just okay, now tell me about the backup. Vote on the backup. Now I know you get down to the bottom of the list of starters, and some of those are kind of like either or, right? But I think that, first of all, I think more of Mason Rudolph than I did when they signed him, based on what I've watched. And certainly, if you remember going back to the spring, he didn't look good. And it's probably new offense and all that stuff, but I just thought he's missing a lot of gimmies. And I was like, man, what's going on with this guy? As camp has progressed, it's been a steady climb for him. He's good. You could win a game or two with Mason Rudolph as your QB. He is the best Titans backup quarterback since Ryan Tannehill. I know this is not a huge statement because basically they've been going Logan Woodside and Malik Willis since then. But still,
another shot at Marcus.
And also, I'm not trying to say that he is Ryan Tannehill, who is about to take the starter's job. I'm not at all saying that. But who are the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL? Okay, Justin Fields is probably number one, right? I mean, he's either or. I mean, it's going to be Russell Wilson to start the season. And at some point, I think it'll be Justin Fields. But he'd be number one, right, I think?
I would think so. I mean, Flacco's in Indy.
I know your guy's not too far down the list. Jameis, he's not too far down the list.
Yeah, he's not that far down the list. Another great speech from him the other day, by the way. I mean, how do you view Mac Jones? Like, is Mac Jones a good backup quarterback?
God, is he?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know.
Like, I understand where he was drafted, but is he? Well, where's Jimmy G? I mean, Jimmy G is quietly Matthew Stafford's backup.
Yeah.
Now, he's got a PED suspension, but Jimmy G is up there. Like you said, yeah, you have to look at what Flacco did last year and like him. You know, Tyrod Taylor is pretty good. I mean, I think I would absolutely put Mason Rudolph above Mac Jones. I'd put him ahead of Tyrod Taylor. Andy Dalton. How old is Andy Dalton?
Andy Dalton's got to be 38 years old. Let's see.
I mean, he's like fine. You know, he's
36.
He's in the same.
Younger than I thought. Andy Dalton's still got some football left.
He's got some football left. I mean, I guess I'd put. Okay, I would definitely put Fields and Jimmy G. And I could actually make the case that Mason Rudolph could be the third best backup in the NFL. Am I crazy? Is that a hot take? I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying after those two, I could put him there with Dalton. I know Dalton has done a lot, but Dalton is a lot older than Mason Rudolph.
Well, see, like, the thing with you saying that is, like, Gardner Minshew, I think, is probably better than Mason Rudolph, but he's a starter now. Like, he probably shouldn't be a starter, but he is a starter. So, like,
and the fact that he's starting means I'm not putting Aiden O'Connell over
right,
Mason Rudolph.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I'd have to see every list. Like, I would agree, Fields is probably one. But again, a lot of these, what you're talking about there is quarterback competitions that are right there on the fringe. And then if they're not that, then they're rookies, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, you
Jacoby
can say
Brissett
Drake May
is yeah. probably going to start at least early right. on, and then it'll be Drake May.
But who right now, okay, right now, the question with backup quarterback is right now you have to win a game and figure out a way to win a game with a QB. I'm absolutely going Mason Rudolph over Drake May. I think that soon enough Drake May will be a starter and will be a better option at quarterback than Mason Rudolph. But right now I'm not taking a rookie.
What about Jake Browning?
Yeah, Jake Browning, yeah, actually, no. Yeah. Pretty good. Brian Callahan's been doing pretty well with the backup quarterbacks.
He has.
Yeah, I mean, the way he played last year, awfully impressive. So maybe I'd put him. Okay, so fourth.
Okay.
Which is wild because, again, a year ago, going into the season, Jake Browning would have been like 28 on somebody's list.
For sure.
But he – yeah, and Flacco is – I mean, like Dustin says, Flacco fell off. I hear you, but he did play incredibly well last year until he then completely – face planted in the playoffs.
That was
Josh
a bad
Dobbs
playoff game.
It was bad. Josh Dobbs. But Dennis throws out Josh Dobbs. I like Dobbs. I would take Mason Rudolph.
This is a serious question because I don't know the answer. Is Dobbs going to be San Francisco's backup? Because he wasn't when they came here. It was Brandon Allen.
It's a good question. I don't know.
I have no clue.
I don't know. He's made all these plays in the preseason, but that doesn't necessarily – it just means he's been playing a lot in the preseason too, yeah. Right? That's a good question.
Where's Malik Willis on the list?
Well, you better hope he's not too low.
I mean, I think I'd probably take Mac Jones over Malik Willis.
That's the thing. I mean, yeah, yes.
Okay.
But I don't know that I put Mac Jones all that high. What's weird is Mac Jones actually, that rookie year, there were some good moments.
There was.
And boy,
you'll watch Mac Jones, though. He'll try to, like, twist somebody's ankle or trip somebody.
He's
kind of sneaky dirty.
He is sneaky dirty. Also, it's hard to blame him too much when he had to have any involvement with Matt Patricia.
That's true.
Speaking of that, this is totally off topic, but did you see the Bill Belichick? I just thought of Bill Belichick when I thought of Matty Pat. Did you see his interview with your guy, your
McAfee?
Buddy McAfee?
He's my buddy?
No, I did not.
I did not see the interview.
I want you to please pull it up right now before the show ends. Please pull it up quickly.
Okay.
I want you to just Google Belichick and McAfee and just look at the video and put it big on your screen.
Okay.
This is good radio. Bro, you can't black paint your eyebrows. What are you doing? Is this what your 19-year-old girlfriend told you to do? That is bad. Belichick, you have gray hair and like gray eyes. What are you doing with your eyebrows?
It's a little freakish, man.
It's freaky
as
hell.
You gotta look good for
like
the TikTok.
Like Cruella DeVille out here.
You gotta look good for the TikTok.
God, for the TikTok. Yes. The game of patty cake, you must have really dark eyebrows. That freaked me out.
Way to go, Bill. That does it for us today. Right. We'll be back with full reaction to the 53-man roster tomorrow. Jason Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.